Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston, self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Hey everyone, so this week we had the absolute pleasure of chatting with Scott Morton from BioBags World. The reason behind this chat was because we wanted to get a better understanding of the terms reusable, degradable, biodegradable, compostable. And when I was looking into the bags that I was using at home, I really wanted to be clear that this was the best option. And I also wanted to be really clear about why this was the best option and to be educated around it. So as I began to look into it, I actually got really confused. So that's why we thought that it's best that we speak to an expert.
Yeah, so Scott owns BioBag World Australia, which is a joint venture between his plastics company and BioBag International. BioBag started in Norway in the late 1950s as a privately owned polyethylene Billman bag manufacturer. Today, it's a world-leading company in developing, producing, and marketing certified compostable and biodegradable products. They've got 6 factories and 20 distribution partners around the world. Scott believes in compostable bags. He says that we live in an era where plastic is fast becoming a global problem of incredible proportions. And we also live in an era of convenience. A solution is what BioBag offers to those prepared to pay a little bit more for the convenience of a bag without harming the environment. So without further ado, here's our chat with Scott.
Hey Scott, how are you going?
Awesome.
So I'm Jackie.
I'm Lisa. Hi.
This is Lisa. Part of this sort of series that we're trying to aim at is just everyday stuff. You know, there's such big picture stuff which companies like you and a whole other great companies that are trying to sort of target. But we're kind of two mums that are, you know, just kind of banging on about sustainability, but we want to try to help people and bring them along sort of for the ride. When I was going through things around trying to understand, you know, biodegradable, degradable, compostable, all that sort of stuff, there was just so much information out there that I was really kind of like, we need an expert to come in and, you know, help us to understand it.
The background for me, just so you know, is I own a plastics company that makes traditional plastic. Cool. So this is kind of a transition. It's as the market dictates, and I'll transition more. And the idea is to transition 100%.
Wow.
But obviously there's some barriers in regards to my competitors, the regulations that are out there. South Australia is an easier market because we're miles ahead on the green space than everywhere else. I prefer the incremental change because otherwise everyone, it's too hard.
Yeah.
So it's incremental change. So you look in Victoria, they go, oh, well, I don't want a compostable bag because I don't have a green bin. And so then they end up kind of paralysed because they can't make small changes because they're worried that it's not perfect. And in the environmental space, everyone wants everything to be perfect and it's not. So, yeah, so that's my background.
Awesome. Okay, that's cool.
So go for it.
So let's talk about BioBag in particular. So really tell us a bit about BioBag, how you got involved and what's your role.
So I'm the managing director of BioBag Australia. BioBag is a European company. We sell all over the world, and it's a company that started off in Europe, and it started off in traditional plastics and they made a transition across to bioplastics. They did that around 9 years ago. So then at the start of last year, or about 18 months ago, we started this project in Australia in regards to, I was appointed as the managing director, and the aim was for us to set up manufacturing locally so we can be a little bit more flexible and also target the market locally in a better way. Yeah. So the manufacturing company now is making traditional products. And we also make a specialised product that keeps fruit and vegetables fresh, which is how we got into this. And it fits nicely because that product avoids food waste.
I love that.
So we see transitioning across to compostable version as a really good fit for us, with the aim of specialised products to stop food waste, but then also transitioning away from polyethylene entirely.
Can I just ask, so because you've kind of gone from traditional plastics to to now kind of more is that because you could see that the traditional plastics is kind of looking like being phased out? Do you believe that? Or what made you change?
In regards to phased out, I'm not sure about phased out. I think that's going to take a long time. So being less popular, yes, and that started a long time ago with people wanting to not have plastic. So you see that around Australia with the banning of carry bags. So it's been coming for a while, and so you have seen that. But in regards to the demand from customers, it hasn't been huge because traditionally it's not been on their radar. There's been confusion about what's available and does it work and doesn't it work. So it's not been on their radar. So it's really the last year to 18 months is when it's just people are now aware, and there's people on the street that will communicate about degradable and biodegradable and compostable, and the single-use plastic is really hitting the forefront. So it's really getting in the headlines now. So yeah, people are becoming more educated about the options.
All right. So can you help us with those words, degradable, biodegradable, compostable, and I guess our community to understand what the difference is in those three terms?
So to start with, plastic's not a bad product. So plastic is a good product, and if you have the infrastructure for recycling, it's a very good product because it can be used time and time again. The negative is obviously the amount of fossil fuel that it uses. However, functionally, it's a good product. So then we come into people are concerned about how long it lasts. So any piece of plastic we've ever made in this world, unless we've burnt it, it's still there. It lasts for hundreds and hundreds of years. So then as a result, to try and get around that, people developed an additive that they can add to plastic and it will make it degrade quicker. So that's where degradable comes in. So degradable is an additive that will, whether it's sunlight or oxygen, it will make the plastic degrade. However, the challenge with degradable is it'll still live for 500 years, but it'll just be in smaller pieces. So it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. However, it's actually worse. It's the worst form of plastic because you're taking a recyclable product and making it non-recyclable. So then we have biodegradable. So biodegradable is, as it says, it's degradable by bioorganisms. The only caveat that we use on biodegradable is the fact that it's not quantifiable. So you and I are biodegradable, but hopefully we last longer, as long as possible. Plastic's not biodegradable traditionally, but you do have some products that are made from organic materials that are actually biodegradable. So then we go on to compostable. So compostable is a product that is biodegradable. However, to be classified compostable, you need to be able to certify it. And the certification guarantees how long it will take to biodegrade.
Okay.
So that's the only difference. Is the biodegradable and the compostable, the only difference is one has a time span on it.
Okay. So does biodegradable stuff create microplastics?
Yes. Biodegradable means it doesn't mean enough. So it's kind of a loose term. Okay. So it's really hard because if I'm advertising a product biodegradable, it doesn't have to be certified. There's no validation of it. There's no Australian standards. So it's really hard. And I could argue that plastic is biodegradable, but it might take 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's really, and that's where it becomes hard. And so that's why we steer people to look for compostable and to look for certification.
Yeah. Okay.
So when you talked about before about degradable, and you said that you add something to it and then it breaks it down, that's what causes microplastics.
So plastic in general will break down to microplastics. Mm-hmm. However, with the degradable additive, it will break down quicker into microplastics.
Okay. Okay. Got ya.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. See, this is why we needed you to talk it out.
You'll be plastic experts.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Are you able to describe the process of behind the bio bag?
So behind the bio bag is a resin, the same as there is behind a plastic product. But the only difference is the resin is made by modifying corn.
Okay.
So it's not as romantic as it sounds. It's not, I'm not putting a lump of corn in one end of the machine and out comes bio bags. It, for all intents and purposes, they're taking corn and they're extracting a starch from that corn. And they're putting it through a very large process to make a starch-based resin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference, is that resin is able to be eaten by microorganisms.
Okay, so in terms of the cost of manufacturing in environmental terms, is your company still making your traditional plastic bags as well as the bio bag? And what is the difference?
Yes, we are.
Okay, and so is there any difference between like what level of fossil fuels or what impact on the environment each bag type has?
So the manufacturing process is the manufacturing process. The machines, they're the same. They're just different models of machines. So the impact on the actual manufacturing process would be similar. Traditionally, compostable films are thinner, so you are using slightly less resources. The raw ingredient, that's probably where the environmental benefits would be bigger. So, yes, you're using farming land and you're farming the corn. However, the percentage of that is really small. That compared to mining a fossil fuel, that we only have a finite amount of fossil fuels, that's where the environmental impact of the cornstarch products is better. Mm-hmm. And the really exciting thing is we're actually very close to making bio bags out of thistles.
Oh, cool.
Now, so the good thing about that is thistles are a weed and they'll grow on land that can't be farmed.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's really, it's good. But it's more the compostable, so there are environmental benefits from starting off with the compostable material. But the compostable really, from an environmental perspective, accelerates at the end of its life. So capturing green waste, diverting that into an organic cycle that can then be fed back into farming land. That's where it really adds value.
It's very simple terms here, but if I was to use a 100% certified compostable bag as my general waste bin, and I was to put that into my general waste bin that gets picked up weekly from the council, what happens to that compostable bag?
It will go into landfill, which isn't ideal. In regards to what happens to it, it depends on the landfill. So some landfills have no oxygen at all, and as a result, anything you put in there, they basically stay in a dormant state. Mm-hmm. So there's a newspaper taken from a London landfill that was 50 years old and still legible.
Wow.
Because they're just devoid of life. If it does have oxygen, and it does allow water and things to leach out through it. So if it's not completely sealed, then the compostable bag will still break down. Mm. But then the benefit of the compostable bag over the polyethylene bag is that the compostable bag, if it is breaking down in landfill, will not leach into the water table. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So it does depend on the landfill.
Mm. Yeah. Because that's where I got stuck, was because I use the bio bag for my general waste. Most of the time I put the just like whatever general waste I have, I put it directly into the bigger bin anyway. So I just avoid using a bag in general. And then I had the bio bag and I was like, but what's happening to this when I am putting it into the green, you know, like the landfill. So
our preferred option for your home bin, our preferred option would be that all of your food and organics goes into a compostable bag that goes into a compostable service, and we capture that. Mm. We would prefer you not to use a bag in your bin because it's kind of a waste. Mm. If you can take out all of the organics, then you probably don't need a bin bag.
Yeah. Well, I only really probably use one. Like, we're still changing the habits of our husbands. That's what we were talking about earlier. And, you know.
I'm not going to comment.
But I think I've got like a little tiny little bin now that I put one bag of rubbish out once every 4 weeks. Maybe my bin goes, it's red in where we live. They're all different colours, but we're in Melbourne. So, and we've got like composts, we've both got chickens. So majority of our organic waste, you know, goes. I also collect my neighbor's stuff and dispose of, you know, that for them via the chickens and the compost and that sort of stuff too. So that's where, I feel like I'm minimizing my impact by just using one sort of bag, but definitely I do collect some of the bio bag stuff, the compostable stuff does.
And that's the thing, it's incremental improvements. Mm. So there's still area to improve, but you're not using a plastic bag that's made out of 100% oil.
So that
is an improvement.
Mm. Yeah, because I know my father-in-law made a comment to me once the single-use plastic bags, got banned from Coles and Woolies and that, and he said, but now I have to go and buy just a garbage bag and I'm chuck my waste in that, you know. And it was like, well, that's what, you know, like that's just one person. Everybody's doing the same. Everybody's talking about, well, I'm just sort of paying the other companies to then buy my bags back kind of thing. So what's the, you know, am I really making an impact?
By using compostable bags, you're giving people a better opportunity for an improved outcome.
Yeah.
So no, it's not perfect and we don't want it in landfill, but it's still better than a plastic bag.
Mm.
The single-use shopping bags. So, yes, you now sell more garbage bags than ever. However, over time, and it takes time, the consumers are learning to, it's like your father-in-law, he's learning now to take a bag. So that's an incremental improvement. And yep, he still has to buy a bin bag, but he buys a bin bag that lasts him 4 days. Traditionally, when he went to the shops, without causing a stereotype on your father-in-law, he'd probably get 4 or 5 shopping bags.
Mm.
So there are improvements.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Scott, how do you feel about those thicker plastic bags that the shops are now selling as an option?
I'm very, very cynical, if you believe that. so you're taking, I don't understand, if you look at Woolworths last year released that I think they gave out 1 billion shopping bags across Australia. And so now they've released a plastic bag that's 3 times thicker. So for that to break even on the volume of plastic, they need 66% of people to not take that bag.
Mm.
And I don't see that happening, and I just feel that they've taken a bag that was costing them 1 cent and giving it away to now a bag that's costing them 3 cents and selling it. Mm. So the cynic in me says it's a very good business idea.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They've taken an idea and, yeah, totally just made it, making a profit, make it profitable. Yeah, mm. Yeah. Missing the point.
In terms of their impact on the environment, though, are they three times worse for the environment?
Or? Three times thicker, three times materials, three yeah. times fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Yep. And, okay. you're not changing that behaviour.
Yeah.
Ideally, for us, people would use a reusable bag. The second option would be a compostable bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see, and it's not just them, it's all of them, but I can't see the logic in taking something that takes three times the resources because you're not changing that behaviour.
Agree totally.
Yeah.
So if people are now bringing their own bag to the supermarket and they're potentially buying bin liner style bags because they want their rubbish bins to be neat and tidy, yeah. Which is a habit, yeah. a long-term habit, is it enough for, I don't know what your competitors are like, the ones that sell in the supermarkets, but is it enough for the label to say, if they say compostable, is that kind of on the right track? Or do you need to be careful with that?
They need to look that it's certified. They need to look for some form of certification. So whether it's European, American, Australian, ideally Australian, but it's still an improvement to see some form of certification. Because unfortunately there's a very large amount of greenwashing and there's
yeah.
a particular brand of garbage bags on the shelves at the moment. They have one size that's compostable and the next size up is degradable. However, the brand name is still the same.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they need to read the small print because the ACCC, they have guidelines for what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. However, the average person on the street thinks they're trying to make a difference. They go and buy it, they get it home, they read the small print, and they're burnt. Yeah. The next time they won't do it. It's just too hard.
Yeah.
I tried to do the right thing and it didn't work.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So they need to look for certified compostable and some form of standard.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome.
Just on the side, how have you found operating in Adelaide and South Australia compared to do you guys do anything in the other states or have you found any?
Yeah, we sell across Australia. The challenge outside of SA is, like I said before, is people have an excuse. So because I don't know what council you're in, we might not have a green bin. So it's instantly you have an excuse. Whereas South Australia, we're really, I don't know how we did it, but we're really, really good in the environmental space.
Because yeah. you're a small so country, you're a big country town.
I think we started container deposit 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then so now there's other states going, oh, we should look at container deposit. But we've had that 40 years. So I'm 43, but my schooling from primary school onwards, we were recycling.
Mm.
And so I don't know how we did it, but somehow we did it. And you look now, so we've got composting facilities at both ends of the state. It's fantastic. We capture something like 95% of containers. And even the electricity side, I've got no idea how that happened, but within 2 years we'll be 100% renewable energy.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that. So I've got a factory here now where 90% of my electricity is solar. Adelaide's an easy, and that's what's really exciting is I'm quite confident that Adelaide will ban plastic produce rolls very soon.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I remember I spent 5 years in Adelaide through my teens and I remember, you know, collecting the bottles and, you know, and cans and taking them to that recycle station and cashing in my $40 for a carload, yep. you know, of stuff. And it's just so is that still happening? where you can take
absolutely
and you can get
you will cash. Not you will not yeah. see a can or bottle on the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's honestly it's up around the 95% mark.
Yeah, so good.
And that's I mean I don't know it's like I know we're a bit backwards sometimes when we are a country town, but I don't know how we've done it. But I have a feeling the container deposit and having the recycling mentality for so many years, it means that the eastern states are now having that conversation about a container deposit.
Mm.
And the problem is now with the internet and the volume of media and Facebook, people are allowed to have such strong opinions. Mm. And the strong opinions, people like to be really negative.
Yeah.
So the container deposit won't work. The ban on plastic bags won't work. Then I just need garbage bag. And it's just it allows that negative rhetoric.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas because we started off before we had access to all that, it just now we just do it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
So we're lucky. Yeah, but it's in saying that the number of inquiries for buy bags is predominantly outside of SA. And the really exciting thing is there's some very, very large councils looking at food organics in Victoria and New South Wales. So they are looking at it. They're just probably a bit discreet about it.
Yeah.
Yes. I know I was talking to someone from the sustainability area of a council that I live in, and she did mention that they are looking at rolling out the compostable bins for around sort of October, maybe in our area. So, but
the best thing that could happen is China banning our waste.
Yes, yes.
It's the best thing.
I agree with that actually. And I don't know whether you heard, but this week we had two of our recycling stations in Victoria shut down by the EPA just temporarily due to fire hazards. One of them had, it's the same company that previously I think had a fire 2 years ago or 18 months ago. And so for a lot of, so at least 20 Victorian councils, and I'm in one of them, there's no, recycling will go to landfill. That's what they've said for the next period of time. They've said a week, but you know, whatever. And just the, like, and that, again, with that Facebook sort of information, you know, like just the people just saying, this is not good enough. You know, like there was lots of negative talk on that, you know, sort of stuff. But there was lots of obviously positive sort of stuff and people trying to say, well, we need to, this is a sign of the times. We need to start changing the way we purchase, you know, rather than putting it in a bin and then just expecting someone else to deal with it or another company to deal with it. And people were saying, you know, like, that's how dare China, you know, do that, you know, like, you know, how dare you speak against China? But, you know, it was just interesting that people's behaviour that, again, you know, let's just, let's just put it in a bin and expect someone else, not actually changing our, you know, our, the way that we consume or purchase things. Okay, so what's your biggest sustainable tip that you can give our community? Now, that doesn't have to be about bio bags. It can be anything that maybe you've changed in your habits or anything like that over the last few years. But if you could give a tip, one tip, what would it be?
My biggest tip would be to reduce food waste as much as possible. And whatever food waste you do have is to capture it in an organics environment because it is such a valuable, valuable resource.
Awesome. That easy.
So cool.
Whether that's your chickens or your green beans, who cares? Just the soil and the health of the soil is critical. So we need to capture that resource.
Thank you, Scott.
That is so awesome. What I love about this chat with Scott was how honest he was. You know, plastic has a place. Plastic is in our world. We know that. Single-use plastic probably isn't, though. But he's transitioning his business to be more sustainable, not just in the products that they produce, but also in the way that, you know, things like his warehouse is powered. And he's really passionate about the role that we can play in giving back to, you know, the land and this and our soil. So as always, we hope that you got a lot out of this episode and it cleared up some of those terms for you, and that you now are more aware about what to look for when purchasing. And just remember, every small step or change that you start to implement is a step closer to becoming a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or you can email us at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created and produced by Lisa and Jackie.